brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Dallas, Texas. I once traveled to Dallas, Texas, a good colleague of mine, for a wedding. Wonderful. Everybody was greeting us as Yankees, and it was a treat to realize that downtown Dallas was open for business. The cappuccino was excellent. This is many years ago in the 20th century. I welcome Bud Weinstein, who is a Dallas denizen, who has guided me for energy for years when he was at SMU, and also since then as he writes articles. But now we're speaking of his native Dallas. And the quote in The Economist I love best: when the six-lane highway gets congested, we add a seventh. Bud, a very good day to you. This is wonderful. Dallas, Texas. What has happened? Is this new, this spirit of boomtown? It reminds me of the Yukon meets the Oklahoma Gushers. Good evening to you.
Hi, John. First, a correction. I am not a Dallas native. I'm a naturalized Texan. We moved here from New York 50 years ago. Back then, the metropolitan area of Dallas had about 3 million people. It's now pushing 8 million. So this didn't just start. The Economist didn't just discover the boom in Texas, and especially in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. This has been going on for at least 50 years. But I think the factors that made Dallas attractive to me 50 years ago as a place to live and work are still here today. And there are lots of positives. You were talking about the friendliness of the people. It's a very open place. I mean, we didn't know anybody here, and yet we've had a very comfortable life and made lots of friends and lots of contacts in the business community for me. So I found Dallas to be a very open society where it's easy to become part of the in crowd. Now, when I say in crowd, I don't mean necessarily the social crowd, but the business community, the intellectual community. So it's really been a fantastic ride for me and my family over the past 50 years.
The building, but that's what comes through The Economist. I picture a place where there are building cranes everywhere, where construction is a major component of each day's planning. And you have people coming, traveling to Dallas, taking a look and then staying. Your properties are much, much more modestly priced than they are in Austin. The rest of the state has its own profile. The Economist does note that it's flat. Is that an issue for you, Bud? Because here I am in New England and nothing's flat.
Well, it may be flat, but we get wall-to-wall sky and we have beautiful sunsets. And, of course, there's the built environment, which is not flat. It's not just downtown Dallas with its dozens of skyscrapers, but we have other high-density nodes all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area with high-rise buildings, with mixed-use communities. It's a very, very diversified metropolitan area. And I think in many ways it's kind of a model for what America number one wants to be, and number two is likely to look like in the future, at least in a physical sense.
You were many years as the associate director of the McGuire Energy Institute at SMU. You were also a professor of applied economics at the University of North Texas. What's the education environment of Dallas? There's a wonderful line in the Economist piece that you don't have to have a secret handshake to get your children into private school. What's it like for not only grammar school, but a higher education?
Well, the Dallas-Fort Worth area is comprised of 50 or 60 different cities, and for that matter, 50 or 60 different school districts. So if you're looking for a public education in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there are lots of opportunities. You can live in a community with a large school district. You can live in a community with a small school district. So there's tremendous variety. And there are also dozens of private schools. Some of them have been here a long time. One of my kids went to a private school. The other went to a public school. They both got a good education. We have great universities in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They're not as heralded as, say, the University of Texas at Austin or Texas A&M, you know, which are the two, you know, huge legacy institutions in the state. But we have, you know, five or six really good universities in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I spent many years at Southern Methodist University. I was also at the University of Texas at Dallas when we first moved here. There's the University of Texas at Arlington, Texas Christian University, and lots of smaller universities. So, the choices are really quite broad in terms of whether you want to take a private education route or a public education route, you know, K through PhD.
Making money. I learned that the housing prices are quite distinct from Austin, where all I hear from people who moved to Austin is, you know how expensive it is to have a house in Austin? I said, yeah, I've heard about it. But I learned you're going to get a stock exchange, this is The Economist reporting, with lower fees and deregulation. Can we have some of that, Bud, here in Connecticut?
Well, we'll have to wait and see whether the Dallas Stock Exchange idea takes off. Some entrepreneurs have put up the cash. They're in the planning stages. They're trying to get the permits. We'll see if that works. But on the housing front, one of the great advantages you have in Dallas-Fort Worth is there are no barriers to growth. So the metropolitan region keeps growing north, south, east, and west. That's not easy to do in Austin. Austin is very hilly. It's not as easy to acquire land. And that's the main reason that housing prices are so much higher in Austin than they are in Dallas-Fort Worth. I pick up the local paper, and every day I read about another development. Now, maybe it's 20 miles to the north of the city. They're going to build, you know, 700 or 800 new homes. And this just happens on a recurring basis. And what we don't have here that you find in many other states, particularly New York, where we moved from, is a lot of red tape. I mean, you can get your building permits quickly. You get your utilities installed before you break ground. It's just a very, very easy place to do business.
Energy, which is what you know best. We've talked about energy and Texas energy in the national scene for some time. How is it in Dallas with a city building this quickly around you? Is it reliable?
Well, our utilities have been very forward-looking in terms of putting in the basic infrastructure ahead of development. Our electric utilities, our big electric utility is called Oncor. I've done some work for them. I understand their planning process. I mean, they're looking at demand 50 years in the future, and they're building the transmission lines to accommodate that growth. There's another interesting aspect of energy in Dallas. You know, Dallas, unlike Houston, we don't have any major oil companies headquartered here. We used to have Exxon. They moved to Houston a couple of years ago. But we do have a lot of independent oil companies and a lot of oil field service companies and pipeline companies. So while we don't produce raw energy in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we provide a lot of the support to the oil and gas industry, both here in Texas and, for that matter, around the world.
Dallas, Texas, a destination, but at the same time, I like you presenting it as a city of the future. We haven't mentioned taxes because there are no taxes. No taxes in the state, no taxes in the city. But
well, that's not quite true, John. I think the Economist article painted a somewhat realistic picture of what the tax situation is like. It's true, we do not have a corporate income tax, but we have a corporate franchise tax. True, we do not have a personal income tax, and that's a nice benefit for living in Texas. Although if you don't have the income tax, you don't get the federal tax deduction. So that take some of the benefit away. We have a very high sales tax in Dallas and in most cities. Combined with the state, it's 8.25%. And we have fairly high property taxes. In fact, property tax relief has been a major issue in the last two sessions of the legislature. So we're not tax-free. We pay taxes. We pay gasoline taxes. We pay other types of excise taxes. So there are taxes in Texas. There are plenty of taxes, and there are plenty of fees. I love it. Every year, the city of Dallas says, we're not going to increase your property tax rate. Well, that's great. But our values go up, and then they increase the fees for water and sewer and trash collection. So it's overall, I'd say the fiscal burden on homeowners is lower in Texas than in most other states. But it's not zero.
Bud Weinstein, long time at McGuire Energy Institute at SMU, as well as Applied Economics at North Dallas State University. Talking Dallas.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.